Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Help of Hashem, we are learning Bava Metzia Daf Samachei. We left off on Daf Samachei, Amud Aleph, 7 lines from the top of the Amud. Begins with the Gemara, Amar Abaya, continuing learning halachas regarding ribbis. We just finished last year speaking out that whenever a loan was made, and when the money was given, they then made up, I'm lending you X amount of money and you will give back more to me. In other words, I'm getting paid for me waiting to get my money back. That is biblical ribbis, called ribbis tzutza and yoytze bedayanim. We're going to learn a couple of amazing cases where ribbis tzutza was paid, and ultimately the borrower who paid the ribbis took the lender to a din Torah. The bezin is demanding for the lender to give back, but what he has to give back will be of the discussion that we'll have in the Gemara. Every case is mamish amazing. Number one, Haiman the Masik Zuzi the Ribisa Bechavri. There was a person that owed ribis. Again, it's not legal to owe, but he owed ribis. So the borrower paid back the money, and now he has to give the ribis. He shouldn't, but he's going to give the ribis. Let's say that he owed him one zuz of ribis, or multiple zuzim. And the Ka'azli Chite Arba Gevire Bezuza Beshuka. During that time, when he was giving him, sadly, the ribis, 4 measures of wheat could be bought for one zuz. The borrower did not give the lender money, which he could have, let's say it was one zuz, but he decided to give him wheat. Let's say he only needed to give him, for the ribis, one zuz. How much measures of wheat should he have given him? 4. Came along the borrower, the Yovle, Inu Chamisha, and he gave him 5. Now, if this would have been simply a sale, I can discount when I make a sale. There's no ribis. It means if normally you would give me a zuz, I'm a salesman, I would have to give you 4. If for whatever reason I feel that to get your business I have to give you 5, I'm allowed to do that. But here, the borrower gave 5, which is like a zuz and a quarter. Because if one zuz gets you 4 bundles, then 5 is a zuz. He gave him the value of a zuz and a quarter. And now, they go to a din Torah. The borrower was told, you paid the ribis, you can get your money back. Good, so he takes the lender to a beis din. What will the beis din demand for the lender to return? This is great. Does the lender got 5, but the ribis that was owed was only 4 bundles, or 1 zuz. So Abaya says, Kim afkinan minei. When beis din will taka demand the lender, you got to give back the ribis, they will only demand of him to give back 4 measures of wheat, which is the value of a zuz. Arba mafkinan minei. Because we say that the idach, the 5th one, that the lender will actually keep, is oizuluhu dekom oizul gabe. In other words, the borrower gave him something for a discounted price. That's the borrower's problem. Since the value of 4 is 1 zuz, he got a zuz, give back a zuz. You borrower decided that for you 5 is a zuz, that's on you. But when the lender gives you back, he's giving you back a zuz. Rava says no. Rava disagrees. He says, you got the 5, not because you were buying wheat and he discounted a price. Why did you get it? Because he was giving you ribis. So if he gave you this 5 for the ribis, you have to give back all 5. Rava Amar, Chamisha Mafkinan Minei. He has to give back all the 5. Because since they make Karabat Toyrus Ribis Asala Yaday, since the lender got it as ribis, and ribis for 1, not 1 1/4, so give back all 5. And if the lender doesn't want to give back the wheat, he says, I want to keep the wheat, Beis Din will demand, according to Rava, give back a zuz and a quarter. Even though the ribis tzutze was 1 zuz, but if he gave you 1 1/4, you got to give back. That's the gevaldik machlokes. Next case, ve'amar Abaya. Another case, machlokes Abaya and Rava. Hayman the masik arba zuzi the ribis bechavri. A person had a claim. Here the example is, again, the lender lent money, whatever the amount was, $1, $1 million, but the ribis was 4 zuz, which he should not have asked for and he should not have given, but sadly he gave it. But instead of the borrower giving the 4 zuz, which was their agreement, he gave him a coat. Now, by the way, the coat had the value of 4. It's not that the coat is worth, that's the previous case. How do we view the coat? Let me explain to you what the question is. We can either say that the borrower owes 4 zuz, and he gave 4 zuz, theoretically. Then the lender went ahead and he bought the coat. He had four zuz and he bought the coat. So the coat was not given in ribis. The coat was a sale. What was gotten illegally by the lender was the value, was the money. So therefore, kimafkin and minay, when Beis Din will eventually tell the lender, hey, you got to give back the ribis, arba mafkin and minay. Beis Din will tell the lender, give back the four zuz. But Beis Din will not demand for the lender to give back the coat. Glima limafkin and minay, because again, we look at the coat as a separate transaction that was done with illegal money. But the transaction is a transaction. Rava says, nanisht. That what? And Rava's not debating with the concept of Abaya. Yes. If I agreed, not I, God forbid. If a borrower agreed, I'm going to give you four zuz for ribis, and he gives him a commodity, we say he's giving him four zuz, and then he's selling him the commodity in exchange. But again, it's a chilul Hashem, it doesn't look good. Now, we're speaking specifically about a coat, because it is a identifiable article. Had he given him, like in the previous case, measures of wheat, no one would know that this pound of wheat you got from ribis. But here a coat is a specific item. Here there's like a chil Hashem or a mechzik ribis issue. So Rabbah says, since galima mafkin in minay, yoytze medayonim, the coat, you gotta give back the coat. My tamaki hecha delay lemer, for people not to say, it looks like it gives a bad impression that galima de machasi v'kai, that coat, again, it's not a consumable, it's a coat. Galima de ribisuhu, that guy got it beribis, you got to give it back. No one would know that he gave back the value. Another case, Amar Rava, says Rava, Hayman de masik treisa zuzi de ribis achavri. Again, there was a claim, an illegal ribis claim, ribis midai raisa, and the borrower now gave owed for ribis 12 zuz, and he's going to pay the ribis, sadly. However, the borrower had a property that he normally would rent out, let's say for the week, for 10 zuz. So he tells the lender, I owe you interest 12, stay in my property, but I want you to value this day to cover the whole ribis debt that I have. Normally he would rent his property out for 10, but he's asking the lender to pay more. He's not paying any cash, but I owe you, take this as the 12. And he gave him a property, he rented, he leased to him a property. The mitagra ba'asara, normally he would only get 10, but va'egre nihale betresan. And the lender agreed, and the lender lived there for a week. Then they both discover, let's say they're both innocent. They didn't know that God does not allow you to take ribis. They go to a Rav, the Rav says, the Rav is like this, Ktsutza, you gotta pay it back. How much money does he have to pay back?
Two.
No. No, the question is, does he have to pay back 10 or 12? So says Rav, ki mafkinan minei, we demand for the lender to give back 12. Because the borrower owed 12. What is the price for rental? There's really not a fixed price, whatever the landlord is asking for. Even though he normally would have asked for 10, but he specifically told the lender, I owe you 12, I want you to take this for the 12. You agreed, so for you, it was worth 12. So now pay me 12, you have to give back the ribis, give me back 12. Amalei Rav Achami Difter Teravina, he's asking, how can Rav say that? V'lei Malei, let the lender tell the borrower, that ki agra hachi. Do you know why I agreed, so to say, to pay more than the market value? I know that you normally charge 10. Do you know why I agreed to consider this 12? Because at the end of the day, interest is pure profit. So I didn't mind giving up some of my profit. To have a komishtarshali, because it was complete revach. However, hashta, now that Beis Din is forcing me from out of pocket to give you back, why should I pay you back something that doesn't have the value of 12? Hashta dule mishtarshali is kido agri kole almuhu de agro. Why, I want to be viewed like anyone else. And you never would have charged anyone else 12. You charge 10. So I want this to be considered as if I only took 10. So I should only have to pay you back 10. What's Rava's logic? So answers the Gemara, there is no such a logic. Because who establishes the price for a rental? You know who establishes it? The owner and the tenant when they make a contract. Since when you moved in there, you considered this the payment of ribis, which was 12. Mishum de amalei, the borrower tells the lender, Savrat, I told you that I owe you 12. I told you I want you to live for 1 week, and this should be the 12. And vekabalt, and you accepted it. Too late. Now you have to give me back 12. And I was going to chab that the borrower is making money. Best thing is not to pay ribis. Next Mishnah. Next Mishnah, these halachas that are extremely relevant. Mar ben ala sachar. You are allowed to get a surcharged for something that's paid later, as we'll explain in a moment, when it comes to a rental, but ve'ein mar ben ala mecher, but you cannot get paid additional money from someone who's buying and paying you later. Let's read the case. For example, this is such a classical case. We're beginning with the first case. Rishon, rishon, achron, achron. First a rental, then a sale. A person is a landlord, and they have a house. Here it's a yard. And the owner, the landlord, tells a potential tenant, listen here, I'm renting you out my yard. If you're going to pay me now, I want you to pay me. The Mishnah gives it $10. If you want to pay for the whole year. If you pay me now, $10, you got the whole year. If you want to pay me month to month, every month $1. $12. You're allowed to do that. What's the issue? It looks like ribis. In other words, you're basically saying that for you holding on to the money longer, you're paying for that.
You don't know how long to rent?
No, in the case of a year, exactly this case. So let's read it inside. Of that, his kolei chatzeira, if one tells the other, I'm gonna rent or lease you my yard. For amrle, ima achshav atenoisenli, if you want to pay me the whole money for the year now, harei olacha be'aser saloim l'shana, 1 year, 10 saloim. The im shal chaydish b'chaydish, but if you're gonna pay me only at the end of every month, fine, one sela for 1 month, meaning 1 year is 12. Says the mishta mutar, that's permitted. That's only by a rental. However, when it comes to a sale, same scenario. If a man is selling his field, he's telling the potential buyer, if you're going to pay me the value now, so then I'll sell you the field for 1,000 zuz. Now, many times buyers buy a field, they don't have all the cash right now, they rely on being able to pay. In the case of a field, for example, a field produces a yield every year, so during the time of the harvest, the buyer will sell the harvest and use all the money to pay down the debt. So the buyer tells the seller, I know you might not have all the money right now. The im legayran, if you want to pay me later, for example, when, you know, during the time of the threshing season, so then, b'shnei maser mana, I want 12 mana, which is 1,200 zuz. That the Mishnah says is asr. Now, let's get one thing clear, just rules. The moment it's not a loan, it's not biblical ribis. A sale. Aser means it's aser because it's avak ribis. Because it's like ribis. The first question will be, why will there be a difference between a rental and a sale? But first get the concept. The concept is, this is a big issue. In other words, many times we sell something at a discounted price if they pay for it now. Sometimes it goes into rabbinic ribis. Sometimes not. Now we'll get the clarity in this next couple of lines. When is it permitted and when is it prohibited midrabanan? It's very important, the next this Gemara, especially it's very practical. And the first thing the Gemara asks, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between a rental where it's permitted? I can go straight out. If you pay me now $10, you got it for the whole year. If you want to pay me monthly for 1 year, 1 year, 1 month, $1, that's $12. 100% okay. Maishna Seifa. So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Domri Tarvayu, they both answer like this, based on one rule. It's very simple. Schirus eina mishtalemes ela basoif. Rentals are not halachically due in advance. They are only due at the end. Now, here I know in America, most people rent, even if it's a long contract, it's due at the end of the month. Here we're speaking about a year's contract. In other words, when is it due? At the end of the year. If something is due at the end of the year, and I want to get a discount because I am prepaying, that has nothing to do with ribis. First of all, it's not a loan. What's the issue of ribis? That since I owe you really money now, but I don't have money to pay you now, so you're going to allow me to keep the money longer. So for you to wait on the money, agar, notar, you want compensation for that. That is where it looks like ribis. So if it was takadu now, and I'm buying time, but for the time you want money, Even though it's a sale, that's rabbinic ribis. But since rentals are only due at the end, gavaldik. Vahai, this person, kiven doleimata zimnei limigma, if a person wants the money up front, the money is not due to him. Lava garnotarle. It's not that, you know, if you pay me at the end, I'm going to charge you because I needed to wait. No. Mishvuhu dohachishavya. If I tell a person on a year's contract, every month I want $1, in other words, it's $12 a year, that's the real value. You're not being penalized for paying late. It's really only worth 12. I'm discounting it if I rent, if you pay me the money now. I'm a lot of discount merchandise. It has nothing to do with ribis. This is worth $1 and I need capital. I tell you, know what? You pay me cash, I'll pay you 80 cents. Nothing to do with ribis. The fact that the owner of the property is saying, if you pay me rent now up front, I'll make it for 10. He is simply giving a price reduction. Price reductions are permissible. But that is all predicated on the fact that rentals are only due at the end. How safe on the next case in the Mishnah by a sale is important. When you sell, you know when you owe the money? When you take it. Sales are due immediately. Push it. If I sell a piece of property, when do you owe me the money? Now. So if I'm telling you, if you pay me now 1,000 zuz, what am I saying? That this field is worth for me 1,000 zuz. The moment I say, but if you're going to pay me later, pay me 1,200, that it's not a loan, but rabbinically it's like a loan, because I am charging you another 200 zuz for you to be able to hold on to the money longer. Seifa kiven disvini ninu, since it's a sale, ubay elamishkal demei achshav, and really sales are due immediately, hilkach, therefore, even though it's not a loan, but it's rabbinic ribis, because of the rule that we learned, agar notar lehu. I am basically telling you, you want to hold on to the money that you owe me for longer, you got to pay for that. The moment you are paying for the weight, that is rabbinic ribis, and therefore v'asr, gevaldik. So firstly, the Gemara wants to substantiate this principle that rentals are only due at the end. Because one can argue, why should there be a difference? Just like it's logical for a sale to be due immediately, why not rentals due immediately? So the Gemara says, Amarava, that daku barabanan bohamilsa, that the sages looked into it. They searched, and v'oikmua, and they found the source in the Torah that rentals are only due at the end, based on the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. The pasuk there is speaking about a Jew who unfortunately became so impoverished that he sold himself as a slave to non-Jews, and the mitzvah on the relatives to redeem him, and being that even when he sold himself to non-Jews, if they have to follow Jewish law, they can never have the slave into Yovel. So really, even when someone is enslaved, it's not forever. It's really like a lease. So you have to make the cheshbon when you redeem him. How much money did they pay for him? How much years was it until Yovel? Let's say they paid $49 and there was 49 years to Yovel. So basically it's $1 a year. So when you redeem him, you don't underpay, but you don't overpay. And the expression in the Torah is kischir or kesachir shana b'shana, that you redeem him like a hired laborer from year to year. The Torah could have said, a hired laborer for a year. Kisachir shana. The word bishana is mamish extra. So from this we learned that schiru shel shana zhu eina mishtalemes ela bishana acheres. That when you pay rent, whatever you got service now, you pay at the end. So if I rented something for a year, like here in America we rent things normally for a month, when is rent due? At the end. I think people give rent in the front, that's like a down payment or security. But rentals are due at the end of the month, that's based on the din Torah. Vayter. So now we are at the end of the first white line. The Mishnah gave the example, I'm selling a field now, 1,000 zuz. You want to pay me during the time of the Goyden? You got to pay me 12 mana. The Imla Goyden, Mishnah, Masr mana. 12 mana is 1,200 zuz. Awesome. So Amar Rav Nachman. Now Rav Nachman shares the following. That Tarsha, the literal meaning of the word Tarsha is dumb. Dumb means playing dumb. There are times that if the transaction is worded, if you pay me now, pay me one. If you pay me later, pay me two, you ruined it. But if you play dumb, and the initial understanding of Rav Nachman is, as long as you don't explicitly say, I want you to know that, you know, if you're going to wait, you're going to wait, you're going to pay me later. If you don't wait, you're going to have to pay me more money. If you don't use those words, I'm making a sale. You don't mention anything connected to ribis. In other words, if you don't say the words, I'm charging you for waiting, then it's permissible. That's the initial understanding of Rav Nachman. And the Gemara right away says that's not correct. That Eisvei Rami Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman, or V'amri L'Rav Ukvar Bar Chama Asr Rav Nachman. We learned in our Mishnah, V'im L'Goyim Mishnah Yom Asr Mana Asr. Our Mishnah didn't say that the seller told him that if you're gonna want to wait for the waiting, you want me to wait to get the money? For the waiting, you got to pay me more. And still it's Asr. In other words, the moment you explicitly mention two options, that's already rabbinic ribis. So Amalei, so clarifies it, Rav Nachman, you're right. First of all, it's not about mentioning explicitly, I'm charging you because I'm waiting. The problem is if both prices are known. If you know the cheaper price now, whether I said it explicitly, or whether it's a market-valued item. Everyone knows the price now. And I tell you, if you're gonna pay me later, you gotta pay me more money. That's problem, that's rabbinic ribbis, even though it's a sale. Because people understand, I'm asking more money because I'm getting it later. But if no one knows the current price, when it comes to real estate, no one really knows the current price. Because real estate doesn't have a market price. As we know, it can be more, it can be less. It can be more valuable to me, it can be less valuable to you. Prices fluctuate.
You need the money.
All of that. If I am selling real estate and I suspect that you, the buyer, you don't have money to pay right now, and I only quote, I'm selling this to you, if you pay me in 6 months, I want from you $1,200. I'm prepared in my mind that if you're going to ask me, 1 second, if I pay you now how much, I'll give you a lower price. That's a whole different conversation. But I am not mentioning now the lower price. I'm just saying, I'm playing dumb. You pay me later, I only quote a higher price. Rav Nachman says it's not a problem. Because since no one knows the current price, so it's not obvious that I'm charging for the weight, and it's not a loan, that's the key here. I'm doing a sale. Midairaisa Ribis is by a loan, that's Rav Nachman. Hasam, over there in the Mishnah, Kotzlei, the seller told him two prices. There is 1,000 zuz now, there's 1,200 zuz later. The moment you did that, you're done. That's ribis midrabanan. Even though you didn't say, I'm charging you because I'm waiting. But hachin, the case of the tarsha, that Rav Nachman says it's permissible, loikotzlei. It's a case, again, where we don't know the current cheap price. We have no idea. The seller is only mentioning the expensive price for later. That's not ribis. And by the way, we paskin this way. Now, next in, Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa is giving another case, not connected, but he's using the same term, tarsha. Rav Papa says, when I play dumb, tarsha didi is for sure permissible. And Rashi explains the following. Rav Papa had a business, he brewed beer from dates. And Rashi explains over here that being that the harvest time from dates is right before Tishrei, there was abundant dates. People who made beer made a lot of beer because they had the raw material. The price of date beer during Tishrei was inexpensive. And Rav Papa had the beer in his house. Someone came to buy beer from Rav Papa. Rav Papa told him, I am selling you beer, not to give you now. I'm going to give you the beer in Nissan. But when I give you the beer in Nissan, you're going to pay me the more expensive price in Nissan. Now, what would be the problem? The problem would be that it looks like ribis. Why does it look like ribis?
Because this is a higher price.
When we learned before forward contracting, don't forget, we never knew that later the price will be more expensive. Now we know. We know that now this barrel is worth $1. Nissan, it's going to be worth $1.50. Rav Papa is telling him clearly, I want $1.50. Now, he's not taking the money now. Taking the money now is terrible. He's telling him, pay me in Nissan. I'll deliver it to you in Nissan. But if we're making an agreement, I'm making an agreement for Nissan. Now, Rav Papa explained why it's not a problem, and it's gevaldik. Based on two principles. Number one, says the Gemara, Rav Papa is explaining that shichrai beer loy pasid. Beer doesn't turn sour. In other words, when we are making a deal that I will deliver to you the beer in Nissan, Rav Papa says, you know what? I didn't have to make any deals with you. I'm not benefiting anything for waiting for anything. And more important, you mentioned that before, that zuze loy tzirichna. Rav Papa says, I'm wealthy. I don't need money. That's a big key. I don't need the money. Itaka, if you wouldn't have come to me right now to buy my beer, I wouldn't have sold it to anyone now. I don't need to. I have capital. I would anyways only sell it to Nissan. And then it's going to be worth $1.50. I don't need you. Rav Papa says, I'm doing you a favor. I'm telling you that if you want me to reserve these barrels for you and Nissan, I'll reserve it for you. But I never would have sold it now anyway. So it's not that Rav Papa is benefiting because he's not waiting. He never would have sold it now. I'm doing you a favor, you to borrow, can trust me, Rav Papa, that you can be guaranteed that I'll only sell it to you. But I'm going to sell it to Nissan. And you're going to pay the price of Nissan.
So there's no transaction of money.
So there's a deal. There is a certain commitment. There's a commitment. No money is being exchanged. And since... very good. But there's a commitment. And since Rav Papa did not need to make the commitment now, so it's not that he's benefiting. He's not benefiting. So no, it's not so good. So Amalei Rav Sheshes, B'rei Rav Rav Papa, Rav Sheshes tells Rav Papa, hold on. You are only looking at this deal from your perspective. You are not benefiting. But the Lekeach, from the Lekeach's perspective, had he had cash, he would pay beer now for cheaper.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have cash. Why is the Lekeach making this agreement with you? Because he, since he doesn't have the money, he's willing to pay more because he doesn't have money right now. You are allowing me to hold on to the money that I don't even have to give you because I need it for other things. I'm going to pay a price for that. So from the buyer's perspective, there is a certain aspect of agar notar. Since he's waiting to pay, he has to pay more. That my chazi, mar deka azlas basar didach, why are you only looking at this transaction from your perspective? Zil basar didu, look also at the customer's perspective. The ilu havalei zuza, had the customer had money now, he never would have made a deal with you. Why would he pay $1.50? Beer doesn't ruin. He would buy beer now for $1. Have a shakli kehashta. Eloma hashta de leis lohu zuzi. The only reason why he's agreeing to pay more money is because he does not have money now. So therefore, shakli kiyoikre de lakame. So therefore, he's willing to give you a more expensive price. Now, Rav Sheshes agrees with the tarsha of Rav Nachman. That's a whole different scenario. Beer has a known value. That means that if everyone knows date beer, Tishrei is worth $1. Let's say in Tishrei it's $1.50. Even if the seller, Rav Papa, wouldn't mention the current price, that's a problem. That's a problem. I'm going to sell you something in Nissan, and I want $1.50. Everyone knows that now you would pay $1. So I'm charging you more because I'm waiting. Because I'm waiting on the money. I want more money for that. Rav Nachman, again, Rav Nachman only allows Tarsha. One second. Rav Nachman only allows Tarsha when the current market value is unknown. That's very important. Like in real estate, both sales and rentals, there is no fixed price. Pasha, look in your neighborhood. How much here in this neighborhood does a two-bedroom apartment cost? There is no fixed price. I mean, every landlord will explain to you, why am I charging more money? Because the kitchen looks nicer. Because the view is like that. There is no fixed price on real estate, unlike on commodities. So Rav Sheshes disagrees with Rav Papa, and we'll see, we paskan like Rav Sheshes. Because whenever we know the current price, and we know the later price, and the later price is more expensive, you are entering by a sale into Ribis Midrabanan. Next case. Omar Rav Chama, now Rav Chama is the most important halach of all. Obviously everything is important, but the whole heter iske that people use today, even though we don't have time to explain it now, is based on the rule of Rav Chama. Omar Rav Chama, my tarsha's vadai shari, my tarsha, my playing dumb is for sure permissible. Now Rashi explains the following. Have a halk up. Rav Chama had a product, had merchandise. He had this cup. This cup over here is worth $1. This cup in New York is worth $1.50. Now, he is going over, Rav Chama is a Talmud Chacham, he's sitting and learning in Koilam. He's going over to traveling merchants. And he tells the merchant, let me tell you what it sounds like and then what it really is. I want $1.50 for this. But here it's not worth $1.50. The merchant tells Rav Chama, okay, I can get $1.50 if I go to New York. But if I go to New York, I'm not coming back right away. Once I'll be in New York, I'm going to do business in New York, and I'm only going to come back in 6 months. And I say, perfect. Now, what would be the problem? Problem would be that I am getting more money than the local value. Why? It can look like, because I'm waiting to get the money back. I didn't give a loan, I'm doing a sale, so it's not Torah ribis, but it's rabbinic ribis, because it looks like that I'm benefiting for waiting to get my money back. But that's not a problem, and this is the key. Because if I tell a merchant, take this cup and sell it to New York, we don't view it that the merchant is buying this from me now. He owes me the money, $1.50 now. We don't look at it that way. Rav Chama told the merchants, if this cup gets lost during the trip, it's my loss. Which means the merchant is only a shliach. So when the merchant sells the cup in New York, he's selling it on my behalf. The sale only happened in New York. So therefore, there's no ribis. If we would view it that I'm selling it to the merchant here, and why would he agree to pay $1.50? Why would he agree? Because he benefits. What's his benefit? Since he's going to spend a lot of time in New York, during that time he didn't pay the money back, he can use my $1.50 today, so it's worth it for him to agree to a higher price. If that would have been the way we look at it, that would have been ribis, midrabanan. Because there's agar notar. But since we don't view it that way, and that's the key, because Rav Chama told these merchants, if you lose this product until you sell it, it's my loss, of course they can't be negligent. In other words, Rav Chama made it clear, you're not buying it from me. You're only my shliach to sell it on my behalf. The moment you look at it that way, there's no ribis. They're going to sell it to New York. In New York, it's like a worth $1.50. And then what? Then Rav Chama is lending the money then to those merchants. And how much money is he getting for that? Not a cent ribis. $1.50. He's going to get back $1.50 6 months later. He did a mitzvah of lending money. There is another problem here that the Gemara has to circumvent. Why are the merchants doing this service for me, if I'm Rav Chama? Why are they doing this? They're taking a product and selling it, and they're not taking any cut? It's because they're using the capital. That is a problem of ribis. Ah, gavaldik. So, frek di Gemara, my tama. That's the meaning, the way Rashi explains. My tama, true, I get this concept of shlichus, which is what a iska. It's not that I'm making the sale, but they're just representing me. But why are they doing it for free if not for the money that they are allowed to keep? So the Gemara says it's not true. In this case, there were certain rules that were instituted specifically for Talmidei Chachamim. Certain taxes were not paid by Talmidei Chachamim, nor by their shluchim. Another rule, when a Talmud Chachim or a shliach is selling product, when the Talmud Chacham's product is being sold, at that time, no one else in the market can sell that product. In order for the Talmud Chacham to sell it quickly, he can go back to his learning. So says Rav Chama that he is not doing the service because of the loan. He's getting other benefits. That's okay. What are the other benefits? The two that we just mentioned. He doesn't mind holding on to my product and selling it for me because the chalhecha the ka'azli, wherever he's going, shafki lohu mirsa, he doesn't pay tax. Not only does he not pay tax for my product, since he's my shliach, he doesn't pay taxes for his product. And the nakot lohu shuka, and they stop the market. This shliach now will be the first one doing the sales. No one can sell before he finished doing his business. Now, what? Well, let me say it like this. What it evolved, the sources, the Maharam, Rav Mendel Avigdor, explained that this logic of Rav Chama is not only applicable when I gave the shliach a product. What happens if I give someone money? But instead of viewing is I'm giving you a loan, you are my shliach to do business with my money. This concept of not looking at the transaction as I am giving you something, I'm selling you something, or I'm lending you something, but I only view the recipient of the money as my representative to work with my money, this became the source of the heter iska. Well, we get to that. Wait, we don't have time to speak it all out. It's not so simple. But bottom line is, if I'm giving you money, not to view it, and it has to be truthful. I'm not giving you a loan. I am giving you this money for you to do business with my money, and a lot of other details. But that is the source is here, Bava Metzia Daf Samachay, and now we're turning to Daf Samachay Amud Beis, and the Gemara says like this: Number one, that the hilchas like Rav Chama, the halacha is like Rav Chama, that it is permissible. Again, the issue was, why are they doing it for free? Because they're benefiting something else. In the typical heter iska, there has to be something which will compensate the recipient of the money for doing the work. He has to get paid something for it. Again, we're going to speak about heter iska, God willing, at a further time. Another thing says the Gemara, that, oh, by the way, the hilchasa k'Rav Chama also means not like Rav Papa. Because Rav Chama says that my tarshas vaday mutter. In other words, we accept Rav Sheshes. So really, we accept Rav Nachman. Very important. When we don't know the current price, that's the way to do it. That means if you have products, this is important for people. Halacha lemais, when you are selling a product, even though you know in your mind that if they're going to pay you cash now, you'll give a discount, don't word it. You say, if the norm is, you know, you sell a product in your business, people pay, let's say, in 60 days, the price of the product is a dollar. If they come and say, if I prepayment, you can discount. But don't say, if you pay now, 80 cents, if you pay later, a dollar, that's, whenever you do that by a sale, it's asr midrabanan. Very good, Vaiter. The next halach is like Rabbi Lazar, that we keep on saying. Not like Rabbi Yechanan. We paskin that the ribis ketsutza ziyoitze bedayanim, as we had all these stories in the Gemara, and all of the cases that we learned in the beginning of the Amid, and daf samachem and aleph. And the third halach is, v'hilchasik Rabbi Yanai. To Omar, what did Rabbi Yanai say? That when you have a forward contract, it means if I give you money for a product, and let's say, yechloi, I'm allowed to do it, and at a later date, even if that product is worth more money, there is no ribis because you had it when I bought it. Rabbi Yanai added to that, that when I buy a product and you're going to give it to me later, you know something, later you don't have to give me the product. You can exchange it for another product. You can give me its value, which is a chiddush, because then it mamish looks like ribis. It means I gave you a dollar for a pound of flour and I want to get it in the 6 months. If you had the pound of flour now, it's okay. In 6 months, let's say that pound is worth $2. You can give me back $2. Rabbi Yanai says, Mali hen mali demeim. And likewise, you can exchange, like we had in the beginning of the Pedic. You can say in 6 months, you know what? I don't have flour, but if you want wine, I'll exchange you $2 worth on the wine. That's all based on Rabbi Yanai. Moving on to the next Mishnah, says the Mishnah. Machar lo yesasoda. If one sold a field to his friend, a very interesting deal. The nasan lo miksas domim. And the buyer paid a partial payment. Now, chevra, there's no doubt in most of our transactions in real estate, here in Los Angeles, can I know how a house costs $1 million plus? You don't pay $1 million. You give a down payment. But when you give a down payment, it's all yours, and now you owe a debt to the bank. That's not the case of the Mishnah. It's where the buyer gave partial payment, and they made the following deal, says the Mishnah. V'amar loy, the seller tells the buyer, that Amosai Shetirza, whenever you want, Have Mois, bring me the rest, the remaining money, and then the toil Eshelcha, the field will retroactively be yours. Which also means, what's not spoken out, that if you will never bring me the remaining of the money, then the field was never yours, but the money that you did give me, I'll have to return to you without ribis. Says the Mishnah, such a deal you shouldn't do. Aser. Why is it aser? Like Rashi explains, it's very simple. Because who will eat the produce during that interim time? They'll make an agreement. Whatever agreement they made will always be ribis. Right? Not always. Whatever agreement they made might always be ribis. Very simple. Let's say I'm the seller and you're the buyer. I'm selling you the field. If at the end it came out that you gave me the rest of the money, which means that retroactively the field was always yours, I ate the produce the whole time. Why did I eat the produce? Because since you owed me money, and I was not getting it right away, so since I'm waiting, I got not that I'm getting produce. Ribis, midrabanan. It's not, it was a sale. Or the opposite. What happens if we made an agreement that the buyer gets to eat the produce? Now, alt's good and fine if the buyer at the end pays and retroactively it's his. But what's going to happen if the buyer never pays me? Which means that ultimately, look at this, I owe money to the buyer, the down payment. And it's going to come out that the buyer gave me money. At the end, I returned that money. And on top of that, he had the produce. Why did he have the produce? Because since the down payment was really never a down payment, it was only like a loan, and he was waiting to get his loan back. So to get paid for the wait, he got also the produce. So being that no matter what agreement they'll make, one side will violate ribis, don't make such an agreement. Now what will be key to this Mishnah, and this is based on the Pnei Yeshua's explanation, is that the Mishnah is speaking about a seller telling the buyer, whenever you want, you can finalize the deal, which means it's a very open-ended agreement. We're going to learn right now in the Gemara a very similar case with one difference, that if the seller tells the buyer, you know, for 1 year, you have the opportunity to finish paying or to lose the whole deal. If they made a closed, ended agreement, then we'll see in the Gemara one opinion that says, then the produce should be put in escrow. Pashut, put it in a third party, that makes sense. And then whoever ends up being the owner of the field will get that produce or the value of that produce. The Mishnah does not suggest it because escrow was only good for a limited amount of time. When you have this, whenever Amos Haisher Tirza, you're not going to have an escrow, what, for the next 50 years? The Mishnah says, don't do such a deal. Next case in the Mishnah, Yilvo al Sodeyum. If a lender loaned money, but he wants a guarantee, and the borrower owns field, the field that the borrower owns is worth a lot more than the loan. And the lender tells the borrower, Hezekhain, I'm giving you a loan, and I'm not charging you interest, but I'm taking a guarantee. And I know the guarantee is worth more. I'm lending you $1,000. Your field is worth $2,000. I want to tell you one thing. I'll do this whole deal on one condition. That if 3 years will go by, you're not going to pay me back, I'm taking your whole field. Halei Shali. What would you say after learning a few daf of Ezeo Neshech? First of all, this is mamish, this is by a loan. You'll say it's ribis ktsutza. You can say it's ribis d'oraisa. The Mishnah says it's not even ribis d'rabanan. It's okay. Harei yeshalohi.
3 years,
chazaka. Oh, 1 second. Why? So here's the chayin. One way of wording it will be, ribis means ribis ktsutza, and even ribis d'rabanan, that the longer you wait, the more money you're going to pay. Right? You're getting paid for the wait. Being that I told you that if you don't pay me back until 3 years, by that and that date, then I'll possess your field. What does that mean? That if it's a moment before those 3 years are up, and the borrower gives him back just $1,000, he's good.
Yeah.
In that instant, Mitamali is going to lose the entire field. We don't view that as ribis. We look at that as a one-time penalty. A one-time penalty is permissible. Now, how to apply this halacha lemaisa, you got to be very careful, but this is a huge chiddush. So we're learning a build-up, ribis and Mexican ribis, and wow, and even by this, and you start thinking about it, people realize, you know, when it comes to tuitions, how does that work? You know, and many schools today, it's based on what we learned before, that their price is really at the end. You owe here in LA, you raise $15,000 a year. If you pay earlier, discounting, that's okay. You can discount if something is due later. If something is due now and you're paying later more money, that's ribis. But if there's a setup in which we don't view it as ribis, we view it as a one-time penalty, that's going to be okay. And v'kachoye baisus ben zunin oisin al pi chachamim. Now there's another chiddush in this din, as we'll learn, God willing, in daf samach vav, and that is the concept called an asmachta. Which means that when one party agrees to something exaggerated, there are many times that we say he only agreed to it because he never thought it would come to it. So therefore, you were speaking before. And asmachta leikanya. Asmachta means I over-exaggerated because I never thought this will really happen. Another thing we see from this Mishnah, that agreement is not an asmachta. He taka meant it. And again, since we view it as, let's call this the one-time penalty, it's going to be permissible. Now, the Gemara begins with a case, like we mentioned, like the Mishnah, with one difference. It wasn't, whenever you want to pay, pay it, and retroactively it's yours. No. It was a case, as we'll see in a moment, I make a sale, I'm the seller, the field is, let's say, $1,000, you only have $500, and I told you, listen, Harris, until the end of the year, either you give me $500, and it's going to be retroactively yours, or I'm giving you back the $500, and then the field was always mine. And the question now will be, during that year, who eats the petis? So Rav Huna says, Meicher oichel petis. The salesperson eats the petis. Obviously, Rav Huna was not speaking about the case that I just spoke out. Because the Gemara is going to clarify. And Rav Anan says, Mishal shonas ha-petis. You put the petis in escrow. And v'loi pligi. There's no argument. Because Rav Huna said that the seller gets to eat the petis only when the seller tells the buyer, when you'll give me the additional $500, then you'll own the field. Push it. In other words, until you fully pay me, then the field is still mine, then the paid is, I'm the seller. That's why the seller can eat it. that ha the amalei lechimais is cunning. The case of Rav Huna is that the salesman tells the buyer, when you'll pay me, then it will belong to you, the buyer. Until then, it belongs to me, the seller. So Rav Huna says the seller eats the paytas. Rav Anan is the Amar. It's like the case of the Mishnah, but it's not open-ended. The Amar that the seller tells the buyer that lechimaisis, that if until the end of the year you're going to give me the $500, k'nei ma'achshav, then it's retroactively yours. And now we don't know who should eat it, because whoever will eat it might be eating ribis. So the solution in a closed-ended deal is to be mishalish on the sapedis. And again, the Pnei Yeshua explains, but in the Mishnah where he tells him that emos ha'shetirza havei mo'ois, don't even make such a deal. Says the Gemara, Tanei Rab Safra b'ribis debei Rab Chia, that Rab Safra had a braisa that was taught in the group of braises regarding ribis in the academy of Rab Chia. That pa'amim, there are times in such a deal, a buyer and a seller, the buyer is not paying for it fully. There is still something to be finalized, and again, every case will be a bit different, that they are both allowed to eat the produce. Pa'amim, there's going to be another similar case, sheshnei masurim, like in our Mishnah, that neither of them are allowed to eat the produce. Pa'amim, there are going to be times, shahamoichin mutar, that the salesman will be allowed to eat the produce until the deal is done, and v'lekeach will be prohibited, and there are times, shalekeach mutar, and l'meichin is asur. That's the b'raisa. Came along Rava, and ane Rava basrei, and Ravi interpreted the Mishnah. He explained, when do we say pa'amim sheshnei mutarim? Simple. He says, the amar lei, when the seller tells the buyer, k'nei kishir zuzach. Let's go to our example. I have a field. I want $1,000. I don't want to sell half of it. But right now, you only have $500. Same thing I'm telling you, Hezekhan. Now, I take the $500. Until the end of the year, you got to pay me the other $500. However, I tell the buyer, now that you gave me $500, it's worth $1,000. Half of the field is mine, half of the field is yours. In other words, the amount of the field equivalent to the money that you gave me is already yours. If that's what the seller agreed to, so then the field is partially owned. So both of them eat the produce from their half. What will be the case that neither of them are allowed to eat it? The amalei, like in the case of the Mishnah, when the seller tells the buyer that lechimaisis, after you'll give me the remaining $500, then you should retroactively acquire it. K'nei ma'achshav. And again, why is it prohibited? Because if one will take the produce, even if they both consented to it, it might end up that he's taking ribis. Upon him, there are times that Meichel will be mutter, and the lekech will be yasir. That will be the case of Rav Huna, to Amalei, when the seller tells the buyer that only lechimaisis, only when you'll give me the other $500, should you acquire all of it. And until then, you acquired none of it. So it belongs to the seller eats the produce. And the final case, pa'amim shalikeach muter umaychir asur, to amalei, when the seller tells the buyer, k'nei ma'achshav, the seller tells the buyer, which is normally the way we buy real estate here, you're giving me a down payment, it's all yours. You owe me the rest. But who owns the land? The buyer. The salesman is not allowed to have it. Because if he has it, it's mamash ribis. No, since you owe me money, I want to have produce. I want to have the money and the produce. Now, says the Gemara, man tana shnei masurim, the author of this braisa, l'chura, also the author of our Mishnah. What is the problem? The Mishnah says, don't make such a deal, because whoever will get the produce might violate ribis. And that's something that we learned on Daf Samach Gimel, that says the Mishnah, that Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, our tana is not the tana of Rabbi Yehuda. The like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'omer Rabbi Yehuda holds tzad echad beribis mutar. It's very important to remember that. Whenever you make a deal, and it's not that you're making a deal that will certainly lead to ribis. No, you're making a deal that might turn out to be ribis. Because let's say the buyer was the one that they agreed, both agreed the buyer will eat it. If the buyer ends up paying for the field, there's no ribis. It's retroactively his. It's only if he won't pay. Since they made this deal before we knew what will happen, and it might go two options, if there's always one possibility that is not ribis, Rabbi Yehuda holds such a deal is permitted. Don't forget, we're not speaking about a loan, we're speaking about a sale. So therefore, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Vayter, says the Gemara, Mishkan Leibayis, if a borrower is borrowing money, here there's a loan, he pledged his house, or Mishkan Leisada, the borrower pledged his field, and V'amalei, the lender tells the buyer, again, this is a case where the field was worth more money than the loan. So let's say, I'm lending you money, I'm giving you $1,000. I want to secure my loan. You have a house worth $1,500. $1,500. And now I tell the buyer that if you will want to sell it, in other words, if you won't be able to pay me back, and you're going to want to sell your house to pay me back. Now, when you're going to sell your house, you don't owe me all the money. You owe me $1,000. So I am telling the buyer, loiti machrim elo li, I want you, if you'll sell it, to sell it to me. And I tell him, I'm not going to pay $1,500. Obviously, I'm going to pay more than $1,000, but I want to get some sort of discount. I want you to sell to me for $1,400. Bidamim halalu. Hadamim halalu means less money. So says, if it's a braisa, that's usher. It's usher because ultimately, I want to benefit the $100 because I'm waiting to get my money back. The point of this will be again, that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem. Why is there no problem? Because I'm making an agreement with you that might never end up being activated. If I tell the borrower, if you want to sell this house, I want to be the buyer, but I'll pay you full market value, that's okay. Because I am not
asking for
I'm not getting money for the loan. Very good.
Not for the loan? Not exchange?
No, never exchange. No, the case is, again, is that the property is worth more than the loan, a lot more than the loan.
No, but I'm not exchanging the $1,000 that you owe me. I'm going to write an additional $500 again.
Yes, of course I'll do that. Yeah, I'll add another $500. Right. Now, who is the one that holds that if the lender is asking for a discounted price, it's prohibited? Again, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Tzadech HaDeribus, is Mutar. And again, even though they're making a deal, since the deal is all predicated by the borrower needing to sell, if the borrower will never sell the house, Bechlau, then there's no issue, so there's no Ribus according to Rabbi Yehuda. Next case, says the Gemara, Machalei Bais, Machalei Sodom. If someone is selling a house, selling a field, and Va'amar Lein, the seller tells the buyer, Lechshiyu Limois, the seller doesn't want to sell that quick. But the seller needs cash. So the seller's making a condition. He's telling the buyer, listen here, if I'll get money, you have to sell it back to me. Hachaziramli. You know what the din is? It's usher. Think about it. Why is it usher? Because if I am selling you this product on the condition that whenever I am able to afford, because I need money, I'm getting money, whenever I'm able to give you back the money, you have to sell it back. So we don't view this as a sale. We view this as
a loan.
And during the middle time, what did you do? You lived in the house. You lived in the field. So you gave money.
And you
get something. So that's ribis. So it's asr. Again, it's ribis midrabanan because we're not speaking about a loan, but it looks like ribis. However, but if the opposite, the buyer tells the seller, the buyer tells the seller, oh yeah, I feel bad to you. I see that you really don't want to sell the house. Don't worry. Later on, I can sell it back to you. We'll clarify that in a moment. That's mutter. So first of all, says the Gemara Matama, who is the Tana that it's usher? Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yehuda like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda because the Rabbi Yehuda. What was the case that I'm the first case? I'm selling it to you on the condition that if I will later have money, if you'll have to sell it back, I might never have money. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not ribis. The only problem is who. What difference is there if the seller made that condition or if the buyer made that condition? If the buyer promised that when you'll have money, I'll sell it back to you. Maishna nisha, maishna seifa. So Amar Rava, we're skipping the parentheses, that seifa the amale midate, which means the buyer is not telling the seller, I am committing myself that when you'll have the money, I'll sell it back. He's telling him, I see I have agmas nefesh. You know what? Later, if you'll have money, I'll consider selling it back. I'll consider. Now, even if he ends up selling it back, you know what halacha looks like? A new transaction. It wasn't a binding transaction. That's why it's permitted. Gevaldik. Emir Tzashem to be continued.